This is Young With Words with me, Angaya Wemali. Thank you for tuning in. For the last, I believe we are almost coming to one full year. This February, I said this podcast back in last year, in February. And it has been an honor just sharing my thoughts, sharing my thought process on different topics of the world. And I think it has reached a time where I should consider, I should work with somebody else. So that's the next step. Meanwhile, I do believe that the people that the Lord has selected, or the Lord has given them the gift of shepherding the flocks, whether it's terms of evangelism, or pastoring, or preaching, or teaching, whatever the level of gifting that the Lord has given these people, I think they should consider to do something a little bit higher than just the one they'll be doing. That most of the shepherds of the flock have worked way hard. They have worked diligently and carefully to let the flock know that the Lord works in mysterious ways. The Lord works wonders. The Lord works miracles. There are songs, there are poems, there are spoken words, there are all kinds of content that have been put outside that would let the people know that this God is a supernatural God. That he is a God of wonder. That he is a God of miracles. He's a God that does magnificent things. And most of the things that we consider magnificent, they are always looked at as positive ones. Positive in terms of us, not exactly in terms of God. And so, it has reached a point where most of the flock believe that they can measure their relationship with God based on the positive things that are happening to them. And so most of the times, the positive things would include things that would be primarily things to do with prosperity, material prosperity. That this person can have the strength, can have a peaceful home, can have, say, a job that is peaceful, that he's actually impacting the communities positively. But this person can have a relatively less testimony compared to that person who has acquired a lot of money in terms of contracts, a lot of money in terms of, say, deals and all that. And therefore, that person who has a lot of money, his testimony is perceived to that person being, is equated to that person having a more intimate relationship with God than this person who can actually attribute his testimony to just happiness, peace, to love and mercy. Like, it has reached a point where if somebody has been working with God for so long to the point that he is able to forgive that person who has done them the highest degree of wrong, that testimony is not as important as the next person who would say something to do with money. The person who has gone on and conquered lands and acquired property, his testimony is perceived to be more relevant than the next. And most of us have reached the point, most of us who are flocks, have reached the point where we can only determine our relationship with God based on our material things. Now, I do believe that this is relatively because of how the shepherds have been shepherding the flock. And so most of the preachings, most of the teachings, most of the conversations that we've been having have mostly based on that. If not based on material things, it's based on the very highly controversial topics. Like the topics that are so on the, it's either you are either on terms of money or the other side of morality. And so if these things that would perceive to be relatively easy things here, they're not really considered as important as possible. Yet, those things are the ones that make the flock fall. There is a part of the where I think is Solomon telling somebody, I'm not exactly sure, but I know this for a fact. If it's not in Songs of Solomon, it's in Ecclesiastes, where Solomon says, watch out for the little foxes. Know what little foxes do? They don't go hunting for the big animals. What they do, they just eat off the backs of the trees. Or the hyenas, who don't go on hunting as vigorous, because they are not fast. They are not considered to be like the fastest, but they are persistent. If you look in the Bible, one of the people that it's the Bible is very articulate about, in regards to the story of Israelites, it's about, it's Amalekites. They are fighting all kinds of, from the Hittites to the Jebusites to the, all those kinds, but the Amalekites is very, he, believe that's the first, that story of Amalekites where his, where Israel is fighting the Amalekites is the first part, is the first story ever penned that started the whole thing, the first story that Moses penned that said the whole thing of creating the Bible. And it's important because what the Amalekites would do, they would go for the weak. They would go for the, for those ones who are getting tired. And the interesting thing, that's the same thing that Solomon is talking about in that book. Watch out for the little foxes. Because they capture that point now, we believe that it's as easy as possible. Like say, for example, forgiving. Now we can think forgiving in mostly in terms of money, because you're like, I gave this person this money, this person was my friend, but because he has not brought back the money, I can no longer have friendship with them. And just like that, a portion of fellowship is gone. And so when you reach a point where you actually find it in your heart to forgive this person, it's no longer a serious testimony compared to that person who has acquired a big job. Yes. And this the where things become hard. These small things can hit you so hard that you end up in grief. I believe there are two points where it is where the battle is hard. The battle is mostly fought in the mind. The battle is mostly is also fought in grief. Because in grief you can easily believe that God is not on your side. In your mind it's easily to believe that you think better than the others, and so you know better than them. And eventually, what the Amalekites do, what the foxes do, they easily teach you to the point where you believe that you know best in terms of the mind, that you know best than what the Bible says. In terms of the grief, you'll be like, nobody's with me, I don't have fellowship. Yes. And so most of the fellowships are not teaching people that for some weird, and not some, for some very natural circumstance, grief is part of everyone, from the person who is born again to the person who is not. And so when you and I reach a point where we believe that our Christianity is based on how comfortable we are, when the grief arrives, most likely you're going to leave the faith, because you're not built to believe that grief is for a person who is born again. And so you're like, everything is working for my good. And so when somebody who you love dear, God comes and takes him away, you are like, why God, why would you take that person away from me? Yet it's a very basic thing. This person belongs to God and God took him. But since most of us, including me, have not exactly been laid to the point to realize it's something as part of life, to the point where somebody dies, we can reach a point believe that it's a spirit, it's a bad spirit that's not supposed to be in the church. Well, most likely this person just died because it was time. I do believe that most of us, that all of us who are born again, should reach a point like what happened to Job. Job would give the sacrifices, would make sure that his family is right with God. And there's a part where it writes that even after the fellowship, where after his sons and daughters have gone out to party, he would give sacrifices so that if any one of them has done something wrong, that the Lord will forgive them. But after the whole tribulation part, there is something also very interesting that he says. I've been hearing of this God. Now I have seen it more. I've seen him with my own eyes. I do believe that as we interact with God, I think that the people who are the shepherds of this flock should have an engagement with God so thorough that it reaches a point where they can easily tell a person that this thing is led by God. And so that even if you lose this person, these fellowship members can see to this person and realize that they should let this person know that God is God. I just had that story with my friends when the last year people lost many people. And I do believe that last year several people also lost the faith. Whether it's mostly by the grief thing, because last year there was a lot of grief. Now, I do hope that in my heart that the Lord is doing his thing so that the people who he has put as shepherds can let us know God as God, not as our personal wallet or the person who provides our needs because we want, but instead to teach us who God is. That even as they are doing their things, we as people who are born again should have this relationship with God, that we can hear Him as He is. Not as we think, that as we interact with the Bible, not interact with it based on what we want, based on, I've seen people do this where they would take a scripture, then call it and put it in the circumstance. So basically the scripture is not the authority, the circumstance is the authority. Because you are taking the Bible, the word of God, and then call it and fit in your scenario. But if you're reading the Bible as to know God, but if you're praying as to have a relationship, as to have communication with God, a preacher say that for some reason in this generation, me included, the way we interact with God is like passively. We pray based on how our scenario, so that if somebody is not having calamities in their lives or their life is going smooth, they won't exactly interact with God as much as the times when there is strife. And the interesting thing, when you believe everything is right, just near the corner there is trouble coming. But yet in this time, if I learn God as a person who I should have relationship with in terms of actually interacting with Him the way I interact with my friends, where I'm kneeling down, I am having a very active prayer, active reading, not as to read because I want to feel good, but I want to know my God. So when I pray, it's actually telling God, I'm having a conversation with God. As I'm reading the Bible, I'm having a conversation with God. I'm having a communion with God. And so that when life happens, when grief comes, when strife comes, it's not because, and life happens, I won't reach a point where I believe that things should work for my good. But everything that it should reach a point where I do believe and understand that everything that is of me should give God praise. That even in my strife, even in my losses, all these things should give God praise. It is easier to say these things when there is no strife. When it is there, things become very difficult. And I understand that. And so my thoughts for this time is this. I do believe that most of us who are born again should reevaluate our relationship with God. The same way we are very diligent in our jobs. Somebody said this, and this is an interesting thing. That the thing that determines your day-to-day becomes your God. I honestly have a problem when people say put God first and then take care of other things. Basically, if you're the one putting God there, then it would mean that you're the one determining who goes first. But if God determines your life, so all these other things, He's the Alpha and the Omega, He's like the one starts, the one who's through it all, the one who ends. And so He determines everything. He determines your ins and your outs. You're going into the city and coming out of the city. Now when we reach that point, in our losses, in our wins, I do believe in my heart that He will be given praise. Not because you're forcing it, but because you're having this relationship with Him, such intimate, such intertwined, that you don't matter. Your feelings, your heart, your happiness is not paramount in comparison to His will. And the best example is Jesus before the crucifixion, where He was in that garden praying. He's like, this cup is too heavy, but not my will, but your will be done. Where it's like, I know this thing is difficult. This, in fact, if it's possible, you can take it away, but your will be done. Through the whole story of Jesus, like, I am doing this, I am looking at the Father, then I'm doing what I am seeing Him do. Nothing that I do is of my own, but is to please my Father who is in heaven. So He has intertwined this life so personal that His desires, while He has them, his desires are submitted to him, are subject to the object that is God. So that even if he feels like, I should actually just pray and tell God, bring the angels here and take me out of this cross, this thing is too heavy for me, he could do that. But instead, because he's here for one purpose and he's dying for me and you, he's like, yep, I'll take this cup. And so that's my thoughts for today. Grief is part of everyone, both born again or not. But the only way for us who are born again to reach a point where we don't see it as paramount in comparison to other things is if we have delved deep in him, that our needs and wants are only subject to him. And the interesting thing, the thing that these other shepherds have been focusing on so much in terms of the material things, my wealth, my insurance, my children, my things, these things, God himself says, those things will follow. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will follow. They're not following because they're chasing them. They're following because they're just add-ons. Him, he is the price. That's my thoughts for the day.